All right, listener. So today, we're going to be tackling a challenge that you brought to us,
Okay.
understanding the balance between rigidity and toughness in plastic injection molded parts.
Right.
And
Big topic.
yeah, it is a big topic. We've got a stack of research technical diagrams, even a few real-world case studies
Oh, well.
to help us out.
That's great.
So think of it like this.
Okay.
Imagine designing the perfect phone case.
Right.
You want it strong and rigid enough to protect your phone, right?
Right.
That's rigidity in action.
Yeah.
But it also needs to be tough enough to survive those drops without shattering.
Yeah.
So that's the tricky part, finding that sweet spot.
It really is. What's so fascinating is that it's not just about choosing the right plastic.
Right.
You know, that the design of the part itself, even down to the tiniest details,
Wow.
plays a huge role in this whole balancing act.
Okay.
And then there's the molding process itself, which can impact both rigidity and toughness in some really surprising ways.
Okay, so it's way more complex than just grabbing any old plastic and chucking it in a mold.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So let's break it down.
Okay.
Starting with those material
All
choices.
right.
Our sources are comparing polycarbonate, PC, and polypropylene, PP,
Yeah.
as prime examples of this rigidity toughness trade-off.
Classic
Can
example.
you help us unpack that a little bit?
Absolutely. So you see, PC is known for its high elastic modulus. Now, I know that sounds technical,
It does.
but think of it this way. It's a measure of how much a material resists bending.
Okay.
So a high elastic modulus means it's stiff, like a sturdy phone case that won't flex easily.
Yeah.
That's great for protection. But if that elastic modulus is too high,
Oh.
it could become brittle and shatter on impact.
So there's that trade-off already.
Right there, yeah.
And PP, on the other hand, is more flexible.
Right. PP has a lower elastic modulus, so it's less rigid,
Okay.
but it also has a higher yield strength, meaning it can withstand more stress before it permanently deforms. Think of it like this. A PP phone case might flex a bit on impact, but it's less likely to crack or break completely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But what really blew my mind was learning that we can actually modify these plastics
Oh, yeah.
to fine-tune their properties.
It's incredible.
Adding glass fibers for strength or elastomers for flexibility, it's
Yeah.
like giving them superpowers.
It is. And that's where material science gets really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, by carefully selecting additives, engineers can create these custom blends that hit that perfect balance of rigidity and toughness for a specific application.
Wow.
But material choice is only the first step.
Okay.
The shape of the part itself plays a huge role, too.
All right, so let's put on our engineering hats
Okay.
and dive into the design side of things.
Let's do it.
Our source material highlights a few key features that make a huge difference: wall thickness, ribs, and fillets.
The big three.
Why are these so important?
Well, think of it like architecture, but on a miniature scale.
Okay.
Wall thickness is pretty intuitive. Thicker walls generally mean more strength, right?
Right.
But there's a catch.
Okay.
If the walls are too thick, they can actually make the part less tough.
Oh.
It's like trying to build a bridge out of solid concrete. Strong, yes,
Yeah.
but also incredibly heavy and inflexible.
So you need to find that Goldilocks zone, not too thick, not too thin.
Exactly. And
Okay.
that's where ribs come in.
Okay.
These are thin raised sections added to the design to reinforce the part without significantly increasing weight.
Okay.
Think of them as internal supports like the beams in a building.
I'm starting to see how seemingly small design choices can have a big impact.
They really can.
And what about fillets? I thought those were just for smoothing out the edges
Yeah.
and making things look nice.
They're definitely important for aesthetics,
Yeah.
but their real superpower is stress distribution.
Okay.
So imagine you're applying force to a sharp corner. It concentrates all the stress in that one spot,
Right.
making it more likely to crack.
Makes sense.
But with a fillet, that stress is spread out over a larger area, like a shock absorber.
So fillets are like those tiny stress balls we squeeze to relieve tension,
Yeah.
but for plastic parts.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
And it highlights why understanding these design features is so crucial.
Okay.
Engineers have to think about how forces will act on the part
Right.
and use these elements strategically to prevent failure. But even the most brilliant design can be let down if the molding process itself isn't carefully controlled.
Okay, so it's not just about the materials and the design, but also how it all comes together in the factory.
Exactly.
All right, listener, we're about to step onto the production line and see how seemingly minor tweaks to the molding process
Okay.
can make or break that perfect balance between rigidity and toughness.
It's pretty amazing.
I'm excited to dive in.
Me too.
All right, so we've talked about choosing the right plastic and designing that part for optimal strength and toughness.
Right.
But I'm curious, how does the actual molding process impact this delicate balance?
That's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
You have your carefully selected plastic,
Yeah.
you have your perfectly engineered design,
Right.
but if you don't get that molding process just right, you can still end up with a part that's too brittle or too flexible.
So it's not as simple as just melting the plastic and pouring it into a mold.
No, not at all.
What kind of things do we need to consider?
So many factors,
Okay.
starting with injection temperature.
Okay.
Think of it like honey.
Okay.
Warm honey flows easily, right?
Right.
But cold honey is thick and sticky.
Yeah.
Same principle applies to plastic.
Okay.
Higher injection temperature makes the plastic flow more easily into the mold,
Okay.
but it can also affect the final part's properties.
So what are the trade-offs we need to consider when we're adjusting that injection temperature?
Well, a higher injection temperature can lead to a tougher part.
Okay, tougher. How so?
One that can absorb more impact,
Okay.
but it can also decrease rigidity,
Oh.
making it more prone to bending or warping under stress.
So there's that balancing act again.
There it is again.
Yeah. Okay, so finding the right temperature is crucial.
Yeah.
What about injection pressure?
Oh, yeah.
Does that play a role too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The injection pressure determines how forcefully that molten plastic is pushed into the mold.
Okay.
Higher pressure can create a denser, more rigid part,
Oh, okay.
but too much pressure can actually over-orient the molecules within
Wow.
the plastic,
Okay.
making it brittle and prone to cracking.
So it's like a delicate dance between temperature and pressure
It is.
to get that sweet spot.
It really is.
Are there any other factors that we need to consider during this molding process?
One of the most critical is cooling time.
Cooling time.
Once that molten plastic fills the mold, it needs time to cool and solidify. Think of it like baking a cake.
Okay.
Too short in the oven, and it's gooey in the middle.
Right.
Too long, and it's dry and crumbly.
Yeah, I see a pattern here. Everything is about finding that Goldilocks zone.
Everything. Yeah.
So what happens if that cooling time isn't just right?
Insufficient cooling can trap stress within the part,
Okay.
making it more susceptible to warping or cracking later on.
Oh, wow.
But if you cool it too much, you can end up with a part that's too rigid and brittle.
Wow, this is so fascinating. It really highlights how much precision goes into every step of this.
It really does.
You know, our sources actually provide a handy table
Yo.
summarizing the effects of these different
Oh,
parameters.
that's useful.
It's almost like a cheat sheet
Yeah.
for injection molding.
Yeah, it's a great resource for understanding that complex interplay between all these factors.
Okay.
For example, high injection temperature generally leads to lower stiffness,
Okay.
but enhances toughness.
Okay.
High injection pressure, on the other hand, can increase stiffness, but potentially reduce toughness.
It's amazing how those seemingly small adjustments can
Yeah.
have such a big impact
Huge impact, yeah.
on the final product.
Absolutely.
Now, I remember we talked about the importance of ribs and fillets in the design phase.
Right.
Do those elements come into play during the molding process as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The design of those features can significantly influence how that plastic flows and cools
Okay.
within the mold.
Okay.
For example, the placement and size of ribs can affect the overall rigidity of the part,
Okay.
while fillets help distribute stress during cooling, preventing those weak points that could lead to cracks.
So even with the perfect material and a well-engineered design,
Right.
you still need to be mindful of how those elements interact
You do.
with the molding process itself.
Precisely. And that's what makes this feel so challenging and rewarding.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the science behind each step and finding those subtle adjustments that lead to a truly optimized part.
Okay.
But there's one more fascinating aspect to consider.
Okay.
Something our sources touch upon that kind of goes beyond the technical details.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What else is there to uncover in this intricate world of
Right.
plastic part design?
Well, we've been so focused on achieving that perfect balance of rigidity and toughness.
Right.
But what happens after the part leaves the factory?
Oh.
What about its life cycle and its impact on the environment?
That's a great point. We haven't really touched on the environmental impact of all of this.
Right. And it's something engineers are increasingly grappling with.
We've covered a lot of ground, you know,
We have.
from picking the right plastic to fine-tuning that molding process.
Right.
But you're right, the story doesn't end when the part rolls off the production line.
It doesn't.
So what happens next?
Well, our sources kind of got me thinking about the bigger picture here.
Okay.
The entire life cycle of a plastic part. We're so focused on making these parts strong and durable, right?
Right.
But what happens at the end of their useful life?
That's a great point. We haven't really touched on the environmental impact of all of this.
And it's something that engineers are increasingly grappling with.
Yeah.
Durability is fantastic, but if it means creating materials that persist in landfills for centuries, is that really a win?
So it's not just about performance. It's
yeah.
also about responsible material choices.
Exactly. And it's a complex challenge.
Yeah.
Some plastics are easier to recycle than others.
Right.
And there's a lot of innovation happening in the field of biodegradable and compostable plastics.
Oh.
The sources we have today don't go into those specifics.
Okay.
But they definitely spark that line of questioning for me.
You know, this is what I love about these deep dives.
What's that?
We start with a seemingly straightforward question.
Right.
And we end up uncovering this whole network of interconnected issues.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, this final thought is something for you, listener, to ponder.
Okay.
As you continue your own exploration of material science, ask yourself, what are the trade-offs between performance and sustainability?
Mm.
What innovations are out there that can bridge that gap?
It's a challenge, but also an incredible opportunity.
It is.
We've gone from those seemingly simple terms like rigidity and toughness
right.
to a much deeper understanding of the factors that influence the creation, the use, and ultimately the fate of plastic parts.
Absolutely. It's been a fascinating journey.
It has.
And remember, the learning never stops.
Yeah.
There's always more to explore, more to question,
right.
more to discover in this world of materials.
Well said, listener. We hope this deep dive has given you some valuable insights.
I hope so.
And has sparked your own curiosity.
Yeah.
And if you have any follow-up questions or a new topic you'd like us to tackle, don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, keep those brain gears turning.
Absolutely.